Duke gang, hi, welcome. It's 10:30 on a Monday night, fresh off a Duke versus Miami game in which Duke won 83-75. Now, if for some reason you didn't get to watch the game and you just see the score and you're like, oh, cool, Duke handled business. Nah, it for sure wasn't like that while I was watching it, and my blood pressure went sky high. My emotions went to an all-time high, an all-time low, back to an all-time high. For a second, I thought Bagley broke his arm. What else happened? They got down. They scored 42 points in the first half, and they're up by two. And you're like, they turned the ball over about 14 times. They for sure are going to have to do better in the second half. Well, you know, second half, it was about 12 good minutes where they scored all of 3 points. So, first half, they scored 42. Second half, they scored 41. But that 41 points, literally like 37 of those came in the last like 8 minutes. And that sounds ridiculous, and I may have over-exaggerated a little bit, but I'm not over-exaggerating that much. I'm dead serious when I mean, like, the last 6 minutes was all of the points. The first 10 minutes of the second half, they couldn't complete a pass. They couldn't make any shot, layup, dunk, or free throw. And they could not do anything positive. And by that, I mean rebound, defend, contest, nothing, literally nothing. And if you watched it, you know I'm telling the 100% truth. So the game, it honestly, we've seen it before. And we've seen both sides of how this game could have turned out. The first side is Duke looks all right, but in the end, they end up doing a ton of terrible, young, immature, not cohesive mistakes. Turn the ball over too much, not knock down the free throws, not defend worth a fuck. Multiple things of that nature. No bench scoring, no bench contributions, whether that be because they didn't get a chance or half the damn bench is injured. And then on top of that, like I said, just turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. It looked like the goal was to not pass it to a teammate. If that was the goal, they succeeded tonight for the most part. Hey, when you get the ball, make sure if you pass it, it goes anywhere but to your own. It goes anywhere but to your teammate. And if you do that, you're doing it right. That's what it looked like for a long stretch of the game. You know, Miami's a good team, and a road game is tough as fuck for Duke, which we all know. We've seen it over and over, no matter where it's at, except for Pittsburgh. And, you know, road game tough, playing down to the competition. Even though Miami's good, I get that, but still playing down to the competition because that's just what they do. And terrible mistakes, just look lost out there and lose the game. And all Duke fans are like, I feel sick because I know this team's way better than this, and therefore I'm fucking mad about this. If they did, you know, if they got beat fair and square where they played one hell of a game and Miami plays one hell of a game and Miami wins, it's like, damn, they were just a better team. But the majority of losses are, we played like shit and they played the game of their life. And the combination of that let the game get away and let the opposing team beat Duke. That's what sucks when they lose is, you just know they're so much better than that. And honestly, that's what I thought we were going to get this game. I thought, you know, 10-minute dry stretch of pure idiocracy. And before that, making plenty of mistakes. You know, they're still scoring. but just making a ton of dumbass mistakes. I mean, with Duke's turnovers combined with shooting about 10 more free throws than Miami, Miami got 20... Trying to make sure I get this right. Miami took 22 more shots than Duke. That's ridiculous. That's a combination of free throws for Duke. They had about 10 more. But the terrible aspect of it is it's a combination of Duke turning the ball over at a hellacious rate and Miami actually beating Duke on the offensive glass. Two things that basketball 101, if you want to lose, that's the way you lose. Turn the ball over and don't rebound. If you want to win, don't turn the ball over and fucking rebound. Shout out to Wendell Carter, because Wendell Carter Jr., sorry, he plays like a, you know, like the OG Wendell Carter, Wendell Carter Sr. That dude is just a monster. He's underrated because there's so much talent, so much hype. Always talking about Grayson Allen, always talking about Bagley, always talking about Duvall. That dude is a fucking monster. All he does is rebound, block, and dunk. And oh yeah, if you think he's going to dunk, he might just pop out and hit a three. But like I said, all the talent. He just goes unnoticed sometimes. But trying to pull up the stat sheet. You know, he had 15 and 14, 7 for 11, and he hit a 3 as well. And I believe 2 blocks as well. Oh, 2 steals and 4 blocks as well for Wendell Carter Jr., which is just gigantic in this game where, you know, weren't seeing much defense and weren't seeing defense. That's it. You know, he has 4 blocks and 2 steals. That's 6 stops potentially. So that's gigantic from one player. You got to think, like, if every player was contributing that, that's huge. Grayson Allen, he just, I don't know. What is it with him? He's just in a slump. Is he injured? What is it? I don't know. I miss him rolling off of screens and hitting these crazy threes, creating his own shot and things of that nature. The thing about him is he always gives 134% without question. He always gives that. But when his shot isn't falling, it's tough because, I mean, we'll get to Gary Trent in a minute and even Duvall hitting his a few threes, but for this team to go where it wants to go, I think they're counting on his stretch to floor ability, shot making ability, tough shot making ability, whatever it is that you've seen from him in the past. And it's not there right now. It's been gone for like 4 or 5 games. And I don't know if it's just because the way the team is playing, you know, his role just, it just isn't solidified yet. Or if he's in a slump. I mean, everybody gets in a slump. Gary Trent Jr. was in a slump. Obviously, he's came out of it. More on that in a few. But I mean, it's just, it kind of sucks because you see him in that Michigan State game talking about Grayson Allen. And you know from his past 3 years, you know what he can do. And this is the year when, you know, he's healthy for the most part. The whole tripping thing, that's, you know, it's kind of behind him. It seems like he's way more mature now as a senior. He's got this massive amount of talent around him. You know, he doesn't have to create his own shot every possession the way he has in the past. And the athleticism, the speed, everything about this team, it fits in perfectly with what he's doing and what he does the best. So it's just like, where it at though? Like, where is it? I mean, you don't have to give up hope or anything. because even when his shot isn't falling, he's dishing out assists, grabbing rebounds. He had 5 steals tonight. That's huge. But you also want his shot falling because in crunch time games, that's huge. I mean, if you can add the aspect of what Gary Trent did tonight and balance that out with a Grayson Allen, who's also, you know, a tough shot taker and a tough shot maker, and when it matters, he shows up. If you can balance that out, combine it with Wendell Carter Jr. and Marvin Bagley, and then throw in a good point guard, that's what this team is supposed to be built on. That's what I think, that's their vision, and that's what it's going to take in order to get all the way through March Madness and compete for a national championship. So he's also, you know, the leader this year. They need that too. So it's big shoes to fill, but you know he can fill it. And, you know, there's a long way to go, so you just have to hope he snaps out of the slump and the shot starts falling. But, yeah, this game, it was just, I'm just so glad they came out with the win, because I wasn't writing them off, but you could see people on social media writing the team off. And the reason why is because they looked like pure shit. But we've seen it before. If you reference back to the Florida game, and there's like 3 other games, Portland State. Yeah, so play good, then play like pure shit. And then when they're just about down and out, almost down and out for the count, bang, right back in it and have the lead. It's like, okay, what the fuck just happened? And I say that because, so now you want to defend, now you want to get rebounds, now you want to get out in transition, now you want to not turn the ball over, now you want to hit these big shots, now you want to make your free throws. Where the fuck was that the last 12 minutes, you know? It's like the, you know, everybody's like, I don't think Coach K has his guys together. I don't think he has a hold of this group. I don't think this team can mesh the way that we thought they could. I don't think Duvall is good enough to be the point guard. I don't think Grayson is going to come back from this. I don't think Trent can get out of this slump. The bench isn't getting enough minutes. I get it all because you've seen it all. But you've also seen this team just gel together like an all-star team, like an NBA team, and score 20 points in 4 minutes and hold the other team to 1 point in 5 minutes or something of that nature, you know? And it's like, they got to take those clips, they got to take the footage, and they just got to dissect it of, hey, look what you're doing in this segment and how great everyone is playing when we do not turn the ball over, play good defense, and take good shots. Obviously on defense, man-to-man is just not working that great. Young team, not used to playing tough defense for 40 minutes. You know, they're young, and when you're playing against juniors and seniors, they've been through it for 3 and 4 years, and you're a freshman coming off of a high school dunk mixtape. You're not really used to playing defense the way that they're used to playing defense. I don't know. I'm not a coach, so seems like zone's the way to go for most of the game, but Coach K likes man as well and doesn't really use zone as much as a lot of teams do. With this team, though, I think you got to think about using it as much as possible. And the bigs got to really box out, because they can offensive rebound with better than anybody. But defensive rebounding is a whole another deal, you know. You have to box out. You have to make sure you get the rebound before you head down the court. And with you kind of see it with Bagley, like, he'd rather just jump over you and get the rebound than box you out and get the rebound. Now, he's always there and he's always fighting for it, but sometimes you just have to step in and box out and grab it that way, because jumping over people isn't always going to work. That's something I saw. I'm not really going to complain about him. I'm so fucking happy that his hand isn't broke, or shoulder, or whatever he hurt right at the beginning. I was like, this is just our fucking luck. The best player to come through Duke in how many years? I mean, he's averaging 20 and 10. He's averaging like 22 and 11. No freshman in ACC has ever averaged 20 and 10 for a full season. I think he's got all of the capabilities to do that, and I think he will do that easily. But not if he breaks his fucking arm. And I was so happy when he came back, because I wasn't sure what was going on with that. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of all over the place. Moral of the story is they were down like 13 with 8 minutes, and then just in the blink of an eye, Trent scored like 20 fucking points in 5 seconds, it felt like. And they just kept finding him, and he just kept throwing them up. I was like, is that J.J. Redick? Is it Seth Curry? Is it Steph Curry? Who the fuck is that? No, it's Swaggy T, baby. And I was so happy. And I'm so happy for him, too, because he's been sick. And also, in the past, he's been in a slump where people were saying, put him on the bench, blah, blah, blah. And like I said, shooters shoot. They're going to keep shooting, and they're going to work it out. And he worked it out tonight and the game at Cameron last Saturday. A couple days ago. So that's good signs. If he can just keep that up and then Grayson can get back going right and then just don't turn the fucking ball over, I really like their chances to win games. So I was glad to see him get going and basically keep them in the game, to be honest. I mean, up in that, till that point, he had like 15, and then right there at the end of the game, he railed off another 15, and Duke wins. Like I said, Carter, he gets a big shout out for just the dirty work that he was doing. A couple blocks, a couple steals, massive amount of rebounds, a couple dunks when it mattered, knocked down a big three. That's huge. In a game where Bagley wasn't the focal point, you know, he had 13 points, 12 rebounds, only took 10 shots. You know, Trent and Carter really stepped up. Duvall, 2 for 2 from three. I mean, his shot falling, that just adds another, you know, wrinkle in this offense that if he keeps doing that at that pace, you can't play off of him. And if you can't play off of him, that means you have to play up on him. And if you play up on him, he will go right the fuck around you, and you will do nothing about it. And that's just the truth. He's so fast. Too many turnovers from him, Trent, and Allen. You know, if you take all those away, that's that many more shots that would have went up, and how many of those would have went in. And how many of those that didn't go in would have been offensively rebounded and put back for a dunk? That's what drives me crazy when someone turns the ball over, because I'm just like, how many shots did we just give away by fucking throwing that ball out of bounds? But it worked out, so it's okay. Just improve. Like I said, his shot falling and his drive, you know, the way he can drive into the lane and finish through contact or dish it out to somebody. You know, you always got to work on it and be improving on it, because it's not perfect. But it's a huge aspect of when he does all that well, this team does well. And it's as simple as that. I mean, it's always as simple as rebound, play defense, don't turn the ball over, and take good shots and execute your plays. when you have the amount of talent that Duke has, if you do that, your chance of winning is gigantic. You just have to consistently do it. They only do it for 6 minutes a game and they fucking beat almost everybody. Imagine if they did it for 38 minutes a game or 40 minutes a game. Imagine if this team played a perfect game against one of these top teams. I don't even think it would be close. 10 for 21 from the free throw line tonight. That's nowhere near perfect. That's nowhere near free throw percentage that you need. That's 47% from the free throw line. Okay, so they shot 47% from the free throw line, 52% from three, and 55% from all over. So, that's every type of shot you can take. They shot a better percentage than they did at the free throw line. That's 11 missed free throws out of 21. Add 11 points to this score, and the game is not even close. Obviously, you're not going to shoot 21 for 21 from the free throw line every game, but you can at least do better than 47%. Trent missed a few. Duvall missed a few. Bagley did. Carter did. I was like, it's one of them games where they just fucked the game away. But I'm actually so happy now because they won. And I don't have to sit here and say all the things that you know I would say about they're so much better than this. It hurts because you've seen how good they are. Blah, blah, blah. I don't have to say that because Flamethrower Trent Jr. shot them right back into the game and right up into the lead. And then a few, like, Carter, just somebody comes in the lane, he goes straight up and blocks the shit out of him, takes the ball from him out of midair. I'm like, I love you. So, I don't even really know where this is going. It's 10:30. Well, it's like 11 now. I'm pretty tired. I would have done this earlier, but I had to eat after the game because I got home so late that I didn't get to eat before the game because I had to cook. So I had to cook after the game and eat. Then I was like, fuck, I need to do this because I'm not going to do it tomorrow. But yeah, man, it was a nerve-wracking game. And if you just saw the final score and you didn't watch it, you're probably better off because my stress level was just like, you know, if you see my Twitter, it went from happy to, what the fuck, to Jesus Christ, this is awful. I hate ACC road games. Why is the best offensive team in the country not scoring for 10 straight minutes? You know, and A-Rod and J-Lo are there. You know, they like Miami. You know, Miami, they have a bunch of 40-year-olds on their team. They always do. And, you know, that football game that they beat Duke in, their whole crowd has always been little shitheads before that and now. And they've been beating Duke a lot in the past, like, five out of eight or something like that. And it's like, I'm sick of this shit. So to go down there and give them a glimpse of we're going to whoop Duke's ass and then to beat their ass and walk out of there victorious, it felt really good. I was very happy to see that. Gary Trent Jr., after the game, he basically said, coach told us we had to stop playing like little boys and start playing like men. We had to talk and play and execute on defense. We started doing that, and that's why everything else followed, and that's why we won. I think that's exactly true, and I just think if they know that, they really need to just stay poised throughout the game. Like, you see so many mental lapses from them throughout one game that you're just like, can somebody just corral these dudes together and fucking clack their heads together so they'll understand or just snap out of this shit? But I mean, you know, It's a college team. It's a young team. It's a road game. It's an ACC road game. It happens. This is the stage, the small window where they have to survive and learn from it. Because you might drop a few games throughout this, but when the NCAA tournament comes, you drop a game, you have an off night, you have a tough game, you have a tough matchup, you drop that one, you know you're not an idiot. None of you are idiots. You know what that means. You go home. I don't want to see another first weekend exit for the next 5 years. I've seen enough. I was at the one live last year. I've heard enough about it. I've dealt with it enough from fucking UNC fans that I know and people on Twitter. I don't want another one. Oh, y'all had Bagley and you couldn't even get past fucking the first weekend, bro. Yeah, I definitely had something to do with it. But that's not going to happen this year because this team is going to keep gelling together, keep growing as a cohesive unit, and they're going to win the national championship. And we're all going to be super happy. And then Marvin Bagley is going to be the number one pick to whatever the shittiest team in the NBA is. Who's that going to be? The Magic? I'm not sure. I hope he goes somewhere decent, Jesus Christ. And, not looking too far ahead, but it'll be interesting to see who stays and who goes. It's a long way to go, and, you know, if you get hot in the NCAA tournament, that could single-handedly determine whether you leave or stay. So, it's really going to be interesting. Stacked class coming in, however. And Zion Williamson will be deciding in 5 days. Again, I think he's going to Clemson, but whatever. Duke's still on the list, so it's not over till he signs a dotted line. But if he goes to UK, you know they cut the check. That's all I'm saying. That's about it, though. I did a, you know, beforehand, I said, what are the keys to Duke beating Miami? And all of you said the most common sense things ever. So glad to see you are all very knowledgeable in the common sense area of how Duke should win. You basically all said rebound the ball, defend well, take good shots, make good shots, hit free throws, and play the bench. And basically play zone. I agree with all that. And like I said, they did all that for 6 minutes. And that was enough to win. Or 8 minutes or some shit. And that was enough to win. And like I said, if they do that for all 40 minutes, they're a scary-ass team. You know, Jack White got 1 minute. Justin Robinson got an early substitution when Bagley went out. He got 9 minutes. He put up a complete egg, zero everything across the stat line. Goldbar had 3 minutes, came in, knocked in a big three, and I was like, this dude deserves more playing time. And so, you know, they yanked his ass right out. And O'Connell had 9 minutes. He didn't score any at all. He had one rebound. But a lot of that was in for Duval, he set for 10 minutes, and Carter had 6 minutes, and Bagley came out for 3 when he got hurt or was getting checked out or whatever. So, as for that, I mean, I think you could still find a couple more minutes here and there for those guys. I think Goldwire is really good, and I think he has a chance to be an A1 defender. He's so feisty and quick. And he just looks good out there. And O'Connell, you know what he brings. And I'm not so sure about Robinson. I know he's playing a lot because Bolden and Javin's out. But I've seen him do some really good things as well. So, I'd like to see a few more minutes for O'Connell and Goldwire both. That's about it, though. also on Twitter, had the first team all swag for Duke. And a bunch of people had a lot of good responses. I don't know, you may think that's like completely fucking stupid, or you may think it's kind of cool. The fact that we were debating whatever swag is was like swag criteria for a Duke player, I thought was hilarious. A lot of good answers, good responses. Mine was Quinn Cook, Gary Trent Jr., J.J. Redick, Seth Curry, and Justice Winslow. My sixth man was Daniel Ewing, because when I was a kid, he was just an absolute bulldog, and he was the ultimate sneakerhead. He wore Jordans to UNC and then whipped UNC's ass in Jordans. A lot of Duke fans back in the day were mad about the fact that he was wearing Jordans. We wearing the rival shoes for it, bro. What the fuck? And Daniel Ewing was just like, I fucking love shoes, and these are cool, so I'm wearing them. And we just beat their ass while I was wearing them. So there's a few good articles about that. And he was just a man. So that's my starting five and sixth man of first team all swag. Pretty interesting. A lot of other good answers too. Some people said Leitner was a must. A lot of people said Corey Maggette, Kyrie, Austin Rivers, Frank Jackson, Jason Tatum. Which, I think those are all good. Bagley as well. You know, haircut is part of the criteria. How you are always calm. How you're not scared of nothing. Just how you carry yourself on the court and off the court. That's swag criteria. So, yeah. If you want to give your starting five, just hit up the Twitter. JJ also shouted out Gary Trent Jr. after the game, which, I mean, you know, a sniper. Shouting out a sniper. It's pretty sick. And that was cool as well. So that's about it for this game. I mean, it was a roller coaster of emotion. You've seen this roller coaster of an emotion before with this team where they're amazing, and then they're not, and then they're amazing again. And then just when you're about ready to cut the damn TV off and break the TV and throw it out the window, they turn on the Jets and win the game. So I don't like that from a blood pressure standpoint. I like when they just dominate opponents, and you're just like, wow, this team just beat the hell out of a top contender. And you see what the team's capable of. But they had to consistently do it for 40 minutes, whether it's at a neutral floor, at Cameron, or at a tough away game. Have to do it for 40 minutes. Had to try to find a way to not let the crowd bother you too much, not let the, you know, scenery change bother you too much, and just execute. The talent is there, but the veteran poise isn't really there. The team never really looks, you know, like a moment's too big. They just look like, oh, I've never been here before. This is what it's like. Okay, now I'll try to adjust. Obviously, because they're young. So keep building. We've seen it work before. Just have to continue to let it grow and keep winning. Because, I mean, on a two-game winning streak now. Was it two-game winning streak? Three-game winning streak? Yeah, three-game winning streak, you dig? That's two road games. That's got to be some sort of record. Two road games without losing. I'm hype. Next, they go take on... So, on the 20th, that is Saturday, at 4 p.m., they will play Pittsburgh again. This will be at Duke. They just thrashed Pittsburgh, 87-52. So that's Saturday at 4. I'd imagine they're going to be a 22-point favorite probably. And then on Wednesday, is that Wednesday or Tuesday? On Tuesday at 9 p.m., they'll be playing at Wake Forest. I will probably be at that game. Tuesday at 9 p.m., turn the fuck up. So if anybody's trying to go to that game, just hit me up. And then after that, 27th, which is Saturday, Virginia is coming to Duke at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Virginia's currently the number two team in the nation at 16-1. Their defense is outstanding, and they really slow the pace down, which could actually, you know, Duke's done well against that. You know, the Tyus Jones game, the Grayson Allen buzzer beater, Jason Tatum just taking over. So that's going to be a tough matchup, and it's one that Duke really wants to win to help, you know, knock Virginia out of the rankings and, you know, out of the top one or two, but also ACC rankings. Virginia's currently number one, so definitely need to get them out of that spot. So that's a big game for Duke coming up on January 27th. That's about it. It's now like 11:30 or something, and I'm tired. Wanted to go ahead and get this out, though. If some of it's fucking makes no sense, I'd expect it to probably not make any sense. I'm just rambling, saying how I feel, how I think, and we'll be back after Duke hopefully thrashes Pitt. I'll be at the Wake Forest game, hit my line, and then Virginia is going to be a tough one, but I'm so excited for that. Thanks for the listens. Fucking UNC fan left a terrible review on here because they like North Carolina for some reason. Appreciate that. And so glad we won this game and came out unscathed from a health standpoint. Hopefully Javon and Marquise get back soon, just because need depth on that bench. You know, if they're up by 20 against Pitt, really need to throw some bench players in and let them get some burn, get some experience, and save the starters. Don't run the starters 38 minutes against Pitt if you're up by 20 after the first half. Please. So, yeah. Appreciate the listens. Tell me your first team all swag. And go Duke. Be back soon. Have a good week. Oh my God. It's supposed to snow on Wednesday in Burlington, where I'm at. It's supposed to snow. I try not to look at the weather because it makes me sad. I fucking hope it doesn't snow. And I'm not looking forward to that, so I don't know why I said that, but I just thought about it. Until then, whenever I'm back, I'm out.